The hotel manager threw open the double doors to our suite, and Carrie gave a long, low whistle.
"Hell yeah,"
he said, hustling me into the room with a hand on my elbow.
"Look at the size of this place. You could do cartwheels in here."
He was right, but I'd have to wait until the morning to prove it. My legs were still shaky from my induction into the Mile High Club. Directly in front of us was a dazzling view of the Vegas Strip at night. The windows were floor to ceiling, wrapping around a corner that was filled with a piano.
"Why are there always pianos in high roller suites?"
Carrie asked, flipping up the cover and tapping out a quick tune on the keys. I shrugged and looked toward the manager, but she'd already moved off, her stilettos moving silently over the thick white carpet. The suite was decorated in what I'd call 50s Hollywood chic. The double-sided fireplace was faced with rough gray stone and decorated with a piece of art that resembled a hubcap with spacey spokes protruding from the center. The sofas were seafoam green with wooden legs as slender as the manager's heels. Everything had a retro vibe that was at once glamorous and inviting. It was way too much. I'd expected a nice room, but not the presidential suite. I was about to refuse it when Carrie gifted me with a big grin and two thumbs up. Having no willpower to refuse his joy, I gave in and hoped we weren't putting Gideon out of a more profitable reservation. "Still want a cheeseburger?" I asked him, reaching for the room service menu on the console table behind the sofa.
"And a beer. Make that two."
Carrie followed the manager into a bedroom on the left side of the living area, and I picked up the vintage rotary phone to place our order. 30 minutes later, I was fresh from a quick shower and dressed in my pajamas, eating chicken Alfredo cross-legged on the area rug. Carrie was plowing through his burger and looking at me with happy eyes from his position on the opposite side of the coffee table.
"You never eat a massive pile of carbs this late,"
he noted between bites.
"My period's coming."
"I'm sure the workout you got on the way here helped, too."
I narrowed my eyes at him.
"How would you know? You were passed out." "Deductive reasoning, baby girl. When I went to sleep, you looked irritated. When I woke up, you looked like you'd just smoked a fat joint."
"How did Gideon look?"
"He looked the same. Tight-assed and hot as hell."
I stabbed my fork into my noodles. "That's not fair."
"Who cares?"
He gestured around us.
"Look how he puts you up."
"I don't need a sugar daddy, Carrie."
He munched on a French fry.
"Have you thought any more about what you do need? You've got his time, his rockin' bod, and access to everything he owns. That's not bad."
"No," I agreed, twirling my fork. I knew from my mom's many marriages to powerful men that getting their time was the most important thing of all, because for them, it was truly the most valuable thing in their lives. "It's not bad. It's just not enough."
"This is the life,"
Carrie pronounced, while lying like a god on a lounger by the pool. He wore pale green trunks and dark shades, and caused an unusually large volume of women to walk on our side of the pool.
"The only thing missing is a mojito. Gotta have alcohol to celebrate."
My mouth curved. I was sunbathing on the lounger beside him, enjoying the dry heat and occasional splashes of water. Celebrating was habitual for Carrie, something I'd always considered quite charming.
"What are we celebrating?" "Summer."
"Okay, then." I sat up and slid my legs off the lounger, tying my sarong around my hips before I stood. My hair was still damp from an earlier dip in the pool and pinned atop my head with a lobster clip. The scorching sun felt good on my skin, a sensual kiss that was nearly enough to make me less self-conscious about the water I was retaining, thanks to my period starting. I headed over to the pool bar, my gaze raking the other loungers and cabanas through the purple tint of my sunglasses. The area was packed with guests, many of whom were attractive enough to warrant second and third looks. One couple in particular caught my eye, because they reminded me of myself and Gideon. The blonde lay on her stomach, her torso propped up on her arms and her legs kicking playfully. Her very yummy dark-haired man stretched out on the chair beside her, his head propped on one hand while the fingers of the other hand stroked up and down her spine. She caught me staring, and her smile instantly faded. I couldn't see her eyes behind her Jackie O shades, and I knew she was glaring at me. With a smile, I looked away, knowing just how she felt about finding another woman checking out her man. I found an empty space at the bar and gestured at the bartender to let him know I was ready to order when he was. Misters attached to the ceiling cooled my skin and lured me to slide onto a suddenly vacated bar stool while I waited.
What are you drinking?
Turning my head, I looked at the man who'd talked to me. Nothing yet, but I'm considering a mojito.
Let me buy you one.
He smiled, revealing perfectly white but slightly crooked teeth. He extended his hand to me, a movement that brought my attention to his nicely defined arms.
Daniel?
I placed my hand in his. Ava, nice to meet you. He crossed his arms on the bar and leaned over it.
What brings you to Vegas? Business or pleasure?
R&R. You? Daniel had an interesting tattoo written in a foreign language on his right bicep, and I admired it. He wasn't traditionally good-looking, but he had confidence and poise, two things I found more attractive in a man than just his physical features.
Work?
I shot a look at his swimming trunks. I've got the wrong job. I sell... Excuse me? We both turned to face the woman who had intruded on our conversation. She was a compact brunette dressed in a dark polo shirt embroidered with both her name, Sheila, and Cross Towers and Casino. The earpiece in her ear and the utility belt around her waist gave her away as security. Miss Trammell? She greeted me with a nod. My brows rose.
Yes?
There's a server who can take your order by your cabana.
Cool, thanks. But I don't mind waiting here.
When I didn't move, Sheila turned her attention to Daniel. If you'll move to the other end of the bar, sir, the bartender will see that your next drinks are on the house. He gave a cursory nod, then smiled winningly at me.
I'm good here, too, thanks.
I'm afraid I'll have to insist.
What?
His smile turned into a scowl.
Why?
I blinked at Sheila as realization sank in. Gideon had me under watch, and he thought he could control what I did from a distance. Sheila returned my look, her face impassive. I'll escort you back to your cabana, Miss Trammell. For a minute, I considered making her day hell, maybe grabbing Daniel and kissing him senseless just to send a message to my overbearing boyfriend. But I managed to restrain my temper. She was only doing what she was paid to do. It was her boss who needed the kick in the ass.
Sorry, Daniel, I said, flushing with embarrassment.
I felt like a scolded kid, and that really irked me. It was nice meeting you.
He shrugged. If you change your mind.
I felt Sheila's gaze on my back as I preceded her to my lounger. Abruptly, I faced her. So, is getting hit on the only time you're instructed to step in? Or do you have a list of situations? She hesitated a moment, then sighed. I could only imagine what she must think of me, the pretty blonde piece of ass who couldn't be trusted to be out mingling in public. There's a list. Of course there is. Gideon wouldn't leave anything to chance. I wondered when he'd worked on the list, if he'd compiled it just since I mentioned Vegas, or if he'd had it on hand. Maybe it was a list he had formed while he was with other women. Maybe he'd written it for Corinne. The more I thought about it, the angrier I got. Unfucking believable, I complained to Carrie when she'd stepped a discreet distance away, as if that action alone would be enough to make me forget she was hovering. I've got a babysitter.
What?
I told him what happened and watched his jaw tighten. That's crazy, Ava, he snapped. No shit. And I'm not putting up with it. He's got to learn that relationships don't work that way. And after all the crap he gave me about trust? I collapsed on my lounger. How much does he trust me if he's got to have someone shadowing me to chase strangers away?
I'm not down with this, Ava.
He sat up and swung his legs over the side of his chair.
This isn't okay.
You think I don't know that? And what's with her being a woman? Nothing against my gender and tough jobs. I'm just wondering if he expects her to follow me into ladies' rooms or just doesn't trust a guy to watch me.
Are you serious? Why the hell are you sunbathing instead of chewing him a new one?
The idea I'd been toying with fully formed in my mind. I'm plotting.
Oh?
His mouth curved in a wicked grin.
Do tell.
I picked my smartphone up from the little mosaic-topped table between us and scrolled through my contacts until I found Benjamin Clancy, my stepfather's personal bodyguard.
Hey, Clancy, it's Ava.
I greeted him when he answered after the first ring. Carrie's eyes widened behind his shades.
Oh.
Pushing to my feet, I mouthed, I'm going upstairs. He nodded.
Everything's fine,
I said, in answer to Clancy's query. I waited until I'd ducked indoors and knew Sheila was several paces behind me and still outside.
Listen, I have a favor to ask you.
I'd just ended my call with Clancy when another call came in. I grinned when I saw the caller ID and answered with an exuberant, "Hi, Daddy!" He laughed.
How's my girl?
Causing trouble and enjoying it. I spread my sarong out on a dining room chair and took a seat.
How are you?
Stopping trouble from happening and occasionally enjoying it.
Victor Reyes was an Oceanside, California street cop, which was why I'd chosen to attend SDSU. My mom had been going through a rough patch with husband number three, and I'd been in a rebellious phase, making my own life hell as I tried to forget what Nathan had done to me for so long. Moving out of my mom's suffocating orbit had been one of the best decisions I'd ever made. My dad's quietly unshakable love for me, his only child, had changed my life. He gave me much-needed freedom, within clearly defined limits, and arranged for me to see Dr. Travis, which led to the start of my long journey of recovery and my friendship with Carrie.
I miss you, I told him.
I loved my mom dearly, and know she loved me back, but my relationship with her was a rocky one, and it was just so easy with my dad.
You might be happy about my news, then. I can come out and see you in about 2 weeks, the week after this upcoming one, if that works for you. I don't want to put you out.
Oh my God, Dad, you can never put me out. I'd love to see you.
It'll be a short trip. I'd come in on a red eye Thursday night and fly out again Sunday evening.
I'm stoked. Yay! I'll make plans. We'll have a blast.
My dad's soft chuckle sent warmth flowing through me.
I'm coming to see you, not New York. Don't go crazy with any sightseeing or anything.
Don't worry. I'll make sure we have lots of downtime, and you'll get to meet Gideon.
Just the thought of the two of them together made my tummy flutter.
Gideon Cross? You said nothing was going on there.
Yeah,
I wrinkled my nose. We'd hit a rough spot at the time. I thought we were over. There was a pause.
Is it serious?
I paused too, shifting restlessly. My dad was a trained observer. He'd see right away that Gideon and I had tension between us, sexual and otherwise.
Yes, it's not always easy. It's a lot of work.
I'm a lot of work. But we're both making the effort.
Does he appreciate you, Ava?
My dad's voice was gruff and far too serious.
I don't care how much money he has. You don't have anything to prove to him.
It's not like that.
I stared at my wriggling pedicured toes and realized the meeting would be more complicated than just a protective father being introduced to his daughter's new boyfriend. My dad had issues with rich men, thanks to my mom. You'll see how it is when you meet him.
All right.
Skepticism colored his voice.
Really, Dad?
I couldn't begrudge him his concern, since it had been my self-destructive run with not-so-good-for-me guys that had led him to finding Dr. Travis. He'd especially had trouble with a lead singer for whom I'd been little more than a groupie, and a tattoo artist whom my dad had pulled over to find him getting a blowjob while driving, and not from me.
Gideon's good for me. He gets me.
I'll keep an open mind, okay? And I'll email you a copy of my itinerary when I book the flight. How's everything else going?
We just started working on a campaign for blueberry-flavored coffee.
Another pause. You're kidding. I laughed.
If only. Wish us luck trying to sell that. I'll be sure to stock some up for you to try.
I thought you loved me.
With all my heart. How's your love life going? Did your date go well?
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Snorting, I asked.
Are you going to see her again? That's the plan so far.
You're a font of information, Dad. He chuckled again, and I heard his favorite chair creak as he shifted.
You don't really want to know about your old man's love life.
True. Although I did sometimes wonder what his relationship had been like with my mom. He'd been the Latino boy from the wrong side of the tracks, and she'd been the golden debutante with dollar signs in her blue eyes. I figured it must have been pretty hot between them. We talked for a few more minutes, both of us excited to see each other again. I'd hoped we wouldn't drift apart after I moved away after college, which was why I'd made it a necessity to have a weekly catch-up call on Saturdays. Having him visit so soon helped to ease that worry. I'd just hung up when Carrie strolled in, looking every bit like the model he was.
Still plotting?
He asked. I stood. All done. That was my dad. He's coming out to New York next week.
Really? Rock on. Victor's cool.
We both moved into the kitchen, and he grabbed two beers out of the refrigerator. I'd noticed earlier that a number of items and products I used at home had been stocked in the suite. I wondered if Gideon was just that observant or if he'd found the information another way, like from looking at my receipts. I couldn't put it past him. Recognizing the boundaries between us was very difficult for him, as evidenced by his sicking his guards on me.
When's the last time your parents were in the same state together?
Carrie asked, prying the caps off the bottles with a bottle opener.
Let alone the same city.
Oh, God. I'm not sure.
Before I was born?
I took a long pull on the beer he handed me. I'm not planning on putting them together.
Here's to best laid plans.
He clinked the necks of our beers together. Speaking of which, I was considering a quick bang with a chick I met at the pool, but I came up here instead. Figured you and I'd both go without today and just spend the time together.
I'm honored, I said dryly.
I was going to come back down.
Too hot out. That sun is brutal.
Same sun we have in New York, isn't it?
Smartass.
His green eyes sparkled.
How about we clean up and go out to lunch somewhere?
My treat.
Sure.
But I can't say Sheila won't insist on tagging along.
Fuck her and her boss. What is it with rich people and control issues?
They get rich because they take control.
Whatever.
I prefer our kind of crazy. We pretty much only screw with ourselves. He crossed one arm over his chest and leaned into the counter.
You gonna put up with his bullshit?
Depends.
On what?
I grinned and started backing out toward my bedroom.
Get ready. I'll tell you about it over lunch.